Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. Today we're going to share the experience of Donna from NDERF.org. Donna says, I was born what is called a blue baby. In other words, I had a hole in my heart. When I was five, almost six, I had open heart surgery at the Children's Hospital in St. Paul, Minnesota. I remember the experience like it was yesterday. I left my body, and even at 5 years old, I knew I was no longer in my body. I looked around the operating room and saw the doctors and nurses and the equipment. As I rose higher, I was met by a being of pure light. There were no arms or legs. There was no clothing. It was pure light. It was a very, very bright white light, yet it did not bother me to look at it. The being of light enveloped me, but I did not have a body. I had no form. It was as if I had melted with this light. I could hear distant voices, but couldn't understand the words. It was like listening to people chatter in a crowded room, but not so loud as that. I was not afraid. I was not frightened at all, as if a five-year-old would be consciously. I only had conscious knowledge of what was going on at the time. The being stayed with me until it was time to go back. I wasn't given a choice to go back or stay. The being said, "It's time to go back now," and pulled away from me. While I was enveloped in this light, I felt so loved and that I loved so much. I did not hurt. I did not feel sorrow or sadness, simply love and peace. The next thing I remember is waking up in the recovery room with tubes still sticking out of my sides from the blood transfusions. I wasn't afraid, though. My mother was crying, and I just held her hand. I felt good. I didn't hurt or anything. When I was 16 years old, the doctors told me that I would probably never be able to have children naturally. I have three, and never had a problem with any of them. Two of them seem to have gotten some of this psychic stuff rubbed off on them. Both exhibit many things that happened to me when I was five. One is now 12 and the other is 15. I'm not sure about the third, as she has never said anything about strange things happening to her yet. All of my children are girls. After the surgery, I knew when people were going to die. I got in trouble once for saying my great uncle was going to die soon. He died 2 weeks later. I lost my best friend when I was 16 years old, and 2 weeks before she died, I had a premonition dream about it. All I saw was a white coffin with pink roses painted around the edges. When my great-grandmother died on Christmas Day, I knew exactly what was going to be said before my mother even picked up the phone. I was 11 at the time. My grandfather passed away in January of 2000. 3 days before he died, I was standing on my balcony and I saw the air shift. It was winter. It was like watching hot steam rise off the pavement in the summertime. I knew it was something bad, but I wasn't sure what. Then my mother called and told me 3 days later that my grandpa had passed away. I developed a writing ability at an early age. I would get in trouble with my third grade teacher because we were supposed to be practicing our cursive writing, but I would always end up writing something else and would have to start over. I couldn't help it. I didn't even realize I was doing it until I thought I was done with my cursive writing. Usually it turned out to be some sort of story or another. I can't draw at all, but I paint pictures with words very easily when creative writing. I am told I'm especially good at poetry. I write short stories, but usually nothing anyone else would be interested in. I feel the presence of spirits in the room. The air becomes very heavy, and it's almost as though I can hear them talking, trying to say something to me. Once I got upset with the whole idea of it and yelled at the thing. If you are here and then show yourself to me, or if you are here, then show yourself to me. At that moment, the air shifted in waves as though something were trying to make its way through from another place. I quickly looked away and stopped. Oftentimes, when I'm supposed to be sleeping, I am off somewhere else. Unfortunately, on the times this happens, I end up in the place where a child or children are being hurt, usually forward in time. I see horrific things that I can't do anything about. When I travel, I see, hear, and smell everything. I once experienced the most horrifying experience of my life. A man shot his wife and children. I woke up in bed paralyzed with fear. 2 days later, a man about 40 miles from where I live shot and killed his entire family and himself. Usually when I have these experiences, I am not me, but yet I am. In the case with the man and his family, I experienced the whole thing as the mother would have. I know he shot her first. I could hear the screaming, the pleading, and the crying of the children. When I am in a room with many people, I feel all the joys, sorrows, and pains of the people in the room. It's a hideous feeling, to say the least. I have had 2 other near-death experiences in my life. After having my tubal ligation and after a discogram, these are my experiences during and after my near-death experience. Can I explain them? No. Do I want to understand them? Yes. And that's the end of Donna's experience. Very interesting. This experience is particularly good at bringing up the discussion of after effects again. And I know it feels like a redundant discussion if you've heard a lot about it, but it's just so stinking common with near-death experiencers to have these kind of after effects. And honestly, most people that have these effects, they say, well, I've never had a near-death experience, but they do have these abilities or curses, whatever you might call them, these after effects. If they look deep in their life, they usually find that maybe they had a really rough labor being brought into the world, or something happened to them as a child, or something that they long forgot about, you know, hitting their head, was knocked out and woke up the next morning and went on like normal. You know, I mean, it's the kind of thing where sometimes near-death experiences are taken, masked from us, and yet they're there, and the effects of them are there, which illustrates an interesting data point in our, you know, discovery of what we can about these things, and that's that it's not necessarily the memory of these things that brings about the after effects. You know, we think of them as being, you know, I mean, we don't know where they come from, these after effects, such as she talks about, knowing the phone was going to ring, knowing when people were going to die, knowing that, you know, some having premonitions of these things. And it's tempting to think, if somebody's had this near-death experience and had this grand, you know, huge experience, that maybe as they think back on that experience and they remember things, it's like little feelings from that experience that were much more potent on the other side. Here they're very hushed or something, and so they recognize them. You know, it's like maybe you know, like, oh yeah, I remember learning about this, and this is what I learned about it. But if you've forgotten the whole thing, then unless you were there long enough, and long enough is a funny thing to say about near-death experiences, because usually it's, you know, like 8 seconds or 8 minutes or whatever. But if you were there long enough, then maybe you developed habits and then came back and kept those habits. I don't know. But what does seem to be the case is that even those who have no memory of their experiences, maybe they had them as a baby and then grew up with these strange abilities or premonitions and you know, psychic kind of experiences, they got them from their near-death experience, even if they don't remember it. And that's weird. But it seems to be a thing. It's a data point. You don't have to remember your near-death experience in order to have the after effects of the near-death experience. And one of the ways that's come to be manifest is the fact that some people don't remember their first experience or experiences because they were too young, or they woke up and there was no experience in their mind to be known about. And it's not till years later they have another near-death experience, and in that experience they have a life review and see that they had a near-death experience in their previous experience, or they, you know, in their near-death experience they're reminded of it, or they're like, oh, I've been here before, where, when, you know, and we people tend to feel that anyway, where, you know, I've been here before, I recognize this place. But those who have had experiences before tend to, well, and there are some who have an experience but have forgotten it. Then they have a near-death experience later, not remembering the first. And then they'll have another experience later where they remember the first. Or it will come through meditation or just out of the blue, kind of one day they'll be like, something will click, you know, it's like the dream flashes where you're, you know, sitting there and you're at the store, you're, you know, getting apples or something, and you see this particularly red one, you're like, ooh, red, oh, a dream. I had a dream about a really, really bright red curtain or something on a stage or whatever, you know, and it brings something, things to your memory, something sparks it. That happens with near-death experiences that people have forgotten. But anyway, so these are characteristic of the kinds of things that that can be seen in those after effects. The psychic stuff, as she said, you know, what is that? I don't know. How that works, I don't know. It's different for different people. Sometimes it comes in the form of having a dream of something happening and something similar happens. Other times it's, you know, just like she says, a change in the air. What? I don't know. But for her, that was a thing. And that's a new thing that I haven't heard, a shift in the air. And it's something to take note of because maybe other people have experienced that. I don't know. But it happened for her a couple of times. One of the times she's frustrated because she knows there's somebody in the room, spirits in the room. She's like, if you're going to be here, just show yourself already. And she could see shifting in the air. And she's like, okay, they're trying it. It kind of freaked her out. And so she left. She's like, okay, never mind. You know, I think I would be the same. I would kind of freak out. But, and then talking of with her senses, she says, when I travel, I see, hear, and smell everything. I'm not exactly sure what she means by that, unless she's just really aware of the senses that are, you know, taking place, the sights, smells, sounds, and so forth around her, you know. She says, off times when I'm supposed to be asleep, I'm off somewhere else. And when this happens, she usually ends up in a place where a child or children are being hurt. Now, these kinds of things, it's like she can't do anything about it. It could be halfway across the world or 40 miles away, like the one time. It's not like she's given a name and address of the people who it's about to happen to so that she can call the police and warn them or something. She's not given that information, which reflects another aspect to this that is worth noting. You know, we think of it as a gift. Those of us that don't have it, we're like, oh, that'd be so cool to be able to know these things, or that'd be so interesting or useful because of this and that. It's not always useful, and it's certainly not always pleasant. These people experience something like that. I mean, can you imagine where while you're asleep, you in your dream or whatever it is, you're somewhere else and you're seeing children being hurt, and you wake up in the morning and you find out on the news that somebody that perfectly matches what you saw in your dream was hurt or killed or something, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do about that? What can I do? Why would you show me this if you, you know? And we don't have answers as to why this takes place. often supernatural kinds of things are something that somebody just has the ability to do, and there doesn't seem to be a specific purpose behind it. Is it practice for something bigger? I don't know. Is it, you know, like somebody discovering they have superpowers, but they don't yet know what it is or why they're so weird and so forth? I don't know. I don't think so. I think there's good that can be, you know, used for, that it can be used for. And then a lot of it's just, you know, difficult premonitions to deal with. I mean, a lot of people who have these abilities to, you know, recognize things about to happen or whatever, they don't want that. And so they pray and pray for it to go away until it's taken. And eventually they don't see things anymore. But there are others who know these things, and so they use it to help other people. They'll see a friend in a dream getting hurt, so they'll immediately call their friend afterward. Is everything okay? And they'll say, I don't know, I'm feeling a little funny about something. And so they'll come over and prevent something from happening. It does happen. And, you know, is there a specific purpose behind that? Maybe. Probably. Is it, you know, a superpower? I wouldn't call it that, but I would call it a spiritual ability, and one that is probably common to us all when we're in the spirit world or on the other side, but one that those who have been to the spirit world are more likely to be able to open or ignite or use. And because it's so, you know, it's not like it's always going to be, you know, spirits giving you this information so that you can help someone or use it or something. It may be just an ability that you have that just, you know, it's like a leak in the veil. You just see things and you know things. And sometimes those experiences can be painful and they can be difficult for people to deal with. So, you know, it's just worth noting that if you have a near-death experience, or even if you have a time where you are unconscious and then maybe your life kind of changed in a few ways and you're not exactly sure why, you just, you know, later you find yourself wanting to do more creative kind of things and whatever, it's very possible that you had a near-death experience and these things are starting to wake up in you. Sometimes it takes time. Creativity is another aspect that is very common among experiencers. When they come back, they get in better touch with their creative side. I haven't heard of too many savants, so to speak. You know, they come back and they suddenly have this incredible ability to paint gorgeously, even though they've never picked up a brush or whatever. I don't hear too much about that, but they do take interest in it, which suggests to me that spirits tend to be very creative. I don't know. I'm just gathering data points and making conjectures from what I'm reading. But it's very interesting, isn't it? Okay, if you would like to contact the podcast, either to share your experience or to ask a question or make a comment, you can do that by emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. You can also call 970-NDE-CAST to leave a voice message, and we will put that on the podcast. If you swear, I may bleep it out, but we'll put your voice on. And I would love to get any insights on ideas for the podcast. If you know someone that has a great story, if it's just someone that you've heard of on the internet, you can send me a link to their story and I'll share it. Anything like that, go for it. Also, if you would like to support the podcast, as of yet, the only way to financially support the podcast is to go to patreon.com/ndecast, or you can go to neardeathexperiencepodcast.org and click on support the podcast and become a monthly contributor. And to those who have signed up to be contributors, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't tell you how exciting it is to me that people are willing to help in that way. It really does help and makes me think, I got to keep this up. I got to keep going. This is working. And I am working on a book about life in the spirit world. It's not going to be focusing on everything related to the near-death experience, but kind of focus toward what is daily life in the spirit world like. That's kind of the big question that I'm trying to address with it. And it shares a lot of the experiences we've talked about, some that we haven't talked about, and a lot of my thoughts on the things that are said too. And I was really hoping to get that out by Christmas, but it's so hard. Books just take a long time, and I have to remind myself of that. I suspect it will be shortly into the new year, but I will let you know when that becomes available. And I would like to make the ebooks free to Patreon patrons, as well as, you know, for those who contribute a certain amount more, maybe, you know, 10 or 15 bucks or something. I would like to send a free copy of the book. I say free, but you know, you're a supporter of the show, so you're definitely paying for it, I guess, in that way. But I do want to make that available to you once that is ready. But with that, thank you so much, all of you, for listening.